You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Wednesday, July 15, 2026. Jambalaya on the Bayou. Crude oil balances in Louisiana's refining regions, poised for a change? Published by Housley Carr. Crude oil sourcing for the three refining regions in Louisiana couldn't be more different from each other. Southeastern Louisiana relies heavily on offshore Gulf production, southwestern Louisiana primarily on inflows from Texas and waterborne crude, while northwestern Louisiana depends on a mix of pipeline, rail, and truck supplies. Those supply-demand patterns have defined Louisiana's crude balances for years, but forces beyond the state's borders may be emerging that could begin to reshape the state's flow dynamics. In today's RBN blog, we examine crude oil flows into and out of the Bayou State, assess supply/demand balances, and explore why understanding those balances could be increasingly important in the years ahead. This is the third blog in our series about crude oil pipelines and refineries in Louisiana and southern Arkansas. In part 1, we said the 16 refineries there account for almost one-fifth of total U.S. refining capacity and consume more than 3 million barrels per day of crude oil from a wide range of domestic and foreign production areas. We also divided the refineries into three buckets: southeastern Louisiana, 8 refineries with a combined capacity of nearly 2.2 million barrels per day; southwestern Louisiana, 3 with 91,000 barrels per day; and northwestern Louisiana and southern Arkansas, 5 with 176,000 barrels per day, and noted that refineries in each of the buckets generally turn to many of the same sources for their crude oil and use pretty much the same means to deliver oil to their facilities. Further, Part 1 discussed many of the main offshore pipeline systems that transport Gulf production to Louisiana, mostly to onshore terminals like Loop's Clovelly, Genesis Energy's Raceland, and Chevron's Empire, as well as the three primary pipelines that move crude oil east into southwestern Louisiana: Energy Transfer and Phillips 66's Bayou Bridge, Citgo's Sour Lake, and Shell's Zydeco. Part 2 looked at the pipes that bring in crude to northwestern Louisiana and southern Arkansas, mostly from Longview, Texas, as well as the Capline pipeline from Illinois to the St. James, Louisiana, hub, and the pipes that move oil out of St. James. For the past several years, the crude oil balances in each of Louisiana's three refining regions have been remarkably consistent, with established supply sources and transportation routes largely matching refinery demand. That stability, however, may not last. Infrastructure projects, some publicly announced and others still below the radar, have the potential to shift some crude movements within the state. At the same time, crude flows elsewhere in North America are evolving in ways that could alter how oil moves into and across Louisiana. Those changes won't happen overnight, but they will require the state's crude transportation network to become more flexible as traditional supply sources are supplemented or replaced by others. That makes today's crude balances more than just a snapshot of the current market. They provide the baseline for recognizing how the market could be evolving. To fully understand how all these elements – production, pipelines, marine terminals, and refineries – interact, you need to pull together a balance of supply and demand in each region. Supply equals production plus inflows. Demand equals refinery runs plus outflows, and that requires the gathering and analysis of reams of data on the flow of crude oil through the system. Matt Lewis, our good friend at Plainview Energy, worked with us on developing crude oil balances for each of Louisiana's three refining regions that incorporate regional production numbers, as well as detailed pipeline flow data, onshore and offshore, marine terminal receipts and sendouts, and refinery throughput, among other things. As we did in Part 1, we started with southeastern Louisiana, which is home to half of the 16 refineries in Louisiana and southern Arkansas, and whose refineries account for about two-thirds of the refining capacity in our two-state focus area, and more than one-ninth of the U.S. total. Before we get into the nitty-gritty, here are some of our key takeaways. Number 1. Southeastern Louisiana continues to be as dependent on U.S. Gulf production as it was a few years ago. Inflows from offshore averaged 1.4 million barrels per day in 2022-25, pretty flat over the period. Number 2. Similarly, last year's pipeline inflows from southwestern Louisiana, Longview, and the Midwest, on Capline, also were within spitting distance of the four-year average. Number 3. It's likely that crude flows into St. James from Texas and southwestern Louisiana will ramp up in 2027 when a planned 120,000 barrels per day expansion of Bayou Bridge comes online. Number 4. Higher flows on Bayou Bridge could result in the displacement of at least some offshore production and/or waterborne imports by crude from the Permian and, perhaps, Western Canada. Bayou Bridge can transport both light and heavy oil. Number 5. Additional volumes of light and heavy also may flow into St. James from the north on Capline, which is operating below capacity and whose capacity could be increased, if demand warrants. In November 2025, Plains All-American CEO Willie Chiang laid out this scenario. There are some large long-haul lines out of Canada that could have expansion capacities. Then you get to the border, and there are a number of different options you can use to get barrels from the border to key hubs. And Patoka, in central Illinois, the northern end of southbound Capline, is one of them. And you've got a large unutilized capacity on Capline that could ultimately be a solution. Number 6. Waterborne flows of heavy oil from Venezuela into southeastern Louisiana have been increasing, and more may be on the way. You might want to take a look at Figure 2 in today's blog. It's admittedly a bit on the busy side, but it sums things up really well. First, the map part. The colored and labeled lines show the most important pipelines that transport the vast majority of the crude oil flowing to the region's 8 refineries. The light blue circles show the major crude oil hubs in the region, with Clovelly and St. James being the largest and most significant. The two numbers beneath each refinery name and owner represent, in order, the refinery's current capacity and its oil throughput in 2025. For example, in the upper center, ExxonMobil's Baton Rouge refinery has a capacity of 546,000 barrels per day and had 2025 throughput of 528,000 barrels per day. Next, see the five blue arrows with numbers? They show the inflow, and in one case, in the lower right corner, the outflow, of crude oil into, and out of, southeastern Louisiana on pipelines. Let's work counterclockwise from 12 o'clock on the map. The blue arrow at the top center shows that inflows into Louisiana on Capline, which moves both light and heavy oil south from the hub in Patoka, Illinois, averaged 144,000 barrels per day in 2025. Capline's capacity is more than 400,000 barrels per day on a light oil equivalency basis. The blue arrow in the upper left corner shows that flows on the 120,000 barrels per day Permian Longview Louisiana Access Pipeline, PELA for short, from Longview to Anchorage, Louisiana, near Baton Rouge, averaged 108,000 barrels per day last year. The next two blue arrows, for the Bayou Bridge and Zydeco pipelines, show flows into southeastern Louisiana from Houston, Nederland, Texas, and southwestern Louisiana. As we'll discuss later, a portion of the flows moving east on both pipelines is dropped off in the Lake Charles area in southwestern Louisiana, at two of that region's three refineries, but 63,000 barrels per day made it further east on Bayou Bridge to St. James, and 213,000 barrels per day flowed further east on Zydeco to the hubs in Houma, Louisiana, and Clovelly. Bayou Bridge's current capacity is 480,000 barrels per day, but, as we just noted, its owners have announced plans to increase that to 600,000 barrels per day in Q1 2027. Zydeco's capacity varies along its length, up to 250,000 barrels per day on the Houston to Port Neches Nederland section, 375,000 barrels per day on the Port Neches Nederland to Houma run, 270,000 barrels per day on the leg to St. James, and 400,000 barrels per day on the run from Houma to Clovelly. Lastly, in the lower right corner of the map, our fifth blue arrow indicates that 181,000 barrels per day, on average, flowed out of Louisiana on Chevron's 200,000 barrels per day Cal-Kentucky pipeline from the company's Empire Storage Terminal to its refinery in Pascagoula, Mississippi. Now to the two regional crude oil balance tables in Figure 2. The one to the lower left shows in-region production and inflow, while the one to the upper right shows in-region demand and outflow. Let's look at the production and inflow table first. After all, it's the equivalent of the cash flowing into a business and a logical place to start. From top row to bottom, the table shows. Number 1. Regional crude oil production, 67,000 barrels per day in 2025. Number 2. Pipeline inflows from Longview, i.e., on PELA, 108,000 barrels per day. Number 3. Pipeline inflows from the Midwest, Capline, 144,000 barrels per day. Number 4. Pipeline inflows from southwestern Louisiana, Bayou Bridge's 63,000 barrels per day plus Zydeco's 213,000 barrels per day sums to 277,000 barrels per day with rounding. Number 5. Pipelines from offshore, the pipes out of the Gulf we mentioned in Part 1, plus a few others, brought in an all-important 1,436,000 barrels per day. Number 6. Marine terminals, which moved in another 214,000 barrels per day, mostly on either tankers from abroad or barges from U.S. terminals down the Gulf Coast. Add that up and you get 2,246,000 barrels per day. That's how much oil came into southeastern Louisiana, either via in-region production, by pipeline, or by tanker or barge. The demand and outflow table to the upper right in Figure 2 shows where all that oil went. Given the vast amount of refining capacity along the Mississippi River between Baton Rouge and the Gulf, it should come as no surprise that 84%, or 1,888,000 barrels per day, of the crude oil flowing into the region was consumed by the eight refineries there. As we said, the second of the two numbers below each refinery in the map shows its 2025 crude throughput, for example, 528,000 barrels per day for the ExxonMobil refinery in Baton Rouge, and 606,000 barrels per day for Marathon Petroleum's Garyville refinery downriver. Next up in the table is marine terminals and other, mostly exports through either the Loop Offshore Terminal or Plains All Americans Marine Terminal in St. James, with 177,000 barrels per day in 2025, followed by the 181,000 barrels per day that flowed into Mississippi on the Cal-Kentucky pipeline. This sums to 2,246,000 barrels per day on the demand and outflow side of the ledger, equal to the total on the production and inflow side. As we said earlier, this exercise of gathering vast amounts of data and looking at it from every angle gave us an even better understanding of how one of the most important refining centers in the U.S. works. Of course, this blog provides just a bird's-eye view of the upstream, midstream, and downstream sectors in southeastern Louisiana. As we talked about earlier, between us and Matt Lewis at Plainview Energy, we've got all the granular data needed to take a more detailed look at things along the lower Mississippi. That would be enough to fill another blog, or two, on its own. Instead, in the next blog in this series, we will drill down on the other two regional refinery markets, southwestern Louisiana and northwestern Louisiana/southern Arkansas. Jambalaya, on the Bayou, was written by Hank Williams and Moon Mulliken. Williams started writing the song after hearing Cajuns on the tour bus for the Hattacall Caravan, which Williams was featured in, commenting on how they missed Cajun cooking. The melody of the song is based on the Cajun song Grand Texas. Williams recorded the song at Castle Studio in Nashville in June 1952. Personnel on the record were Hank Williams, vocals, acoustic guitar, Chet Atkins, lead guitar, Chuck Wright bass, Jerry Rivers, fiddle, and Don Helms, steel guitar. Released as a 78 RPM single in July 1952, it went to number one on the Billboard Hot Country Singles chart and remained there for 14 weeks. The song has appeared on numerous Hank Williams compilation albums. Many artists have covered the song, including Joe Stafford, Brenda Lee, Fats Domino, and the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. John Fogerty, under the name The Blue Ridge Rangers, released his version as a single in April 1973. It went to number 16 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. Hank Williams was an American country music singer, songwriter, and musician. He is regarded as one of the most influential progenitors of the genre. When Hank sang a song, America listened. Born in Alabama, he learned guitar from blues musician Rufus Payne. Williams began his career playing in Montgomery area venues and on local radio stations. He put out his first single, Never Again, on Sterling Records in January 1947. And signed a recording contract with MGM Records later that year. He released 12 studio albums, 8 live albums, 25 compilation albums, and 71 singles, and has sold over 40 million records worldwide. Williams is a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Williams died of heart failure in the backseat of an Olympic Blue 1952 Cadillac convertible en route to a show in Canton, Ohio, on January 1, 1953. He was 29 years old.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.